fails. We're coming to Joshua chapter 23. We're going to read all of the chapter. It's good to read the Word of God, and we trust the Lord will bless our time around the Word this morning. Joshua chapter 23, and we're reading from the verse number 1, please. And it came to pass, a long time after, that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations, that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them out from your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as he has done unto you this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he is as that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, and yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. As if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. And we do trust the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. Israel had known many battles. You will know when we particularly began our studies in the Joshua, the book of Joshua, they had many, many battles to face. They had some bad days. You'll remember that awful defeat at Ai. You'll remember how they were fooled by the Gibeonites who dressed and pretended them come from afar. And yet in among this they had many wonderful victories, and time has taught them many wonderful lessons as they attended God's training school of life. Now they've reached a relatively peaceful time, a time when they can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. They were enjoying a time of rest. There had been a lapse of time from chapter 22 to chapter 23. Some suggest possibly 20 years. They had known a time of relative peace, a time of relative rest, and they certainly were enjoying the blessing of the Lord. To a certain extent, they had possessed their possessions. You know, when it comes to a time of peace and tranquility, there's always this fear among the people of God that we can become slack and we can become lax in our devotion to the Lord. Our commitment, our devotion sometimes can slip. I want to take you back 12 months ago. If I were standing in this pulpit 12 months ago in February 2020, and we were preaching a message like this, we were talking about a time of rest, a time of relative peace, perhaps most of us could identify with that. And most of us would see that's really where we're coming from. The Lord has been good to us. We have rest in our land. I know we all have individual difficulties and trials, but certainly nothing like what we're going through now. Who knew what was going to happen at the end of March? Who knew that our country would be plunged into lockdown and this pandemic would ravage throughout our province and throughout many countries in the world? And if God were to speak to us then and say, listen, you're enjoying a time of rest. What about your commitment? What about your devotion? What about your dedication to the Lord? I wonder what it was like 12 months ago. And I know we don't want to second guess God. And I understand there are many reasons why God has allowed this pandemic to sweep through this world. And no doubt he's talking to the world. But I believe he's also talking to believers. And surely he's talking to us individually. Remember, our God is a mighty God. He's an all-knowing God. And he deals with us personally. And I wonder, for you personally, for me personally, has God been saying to us, you had a time of rest, you had a time of blessing when you didn't have to worry about these things, and you forgot about me. And you were slack in your devotion. You were slack in your commitment. And this is what Joshua fears for Israel. He fears that during this time of rest, that they would let standards go, that their love for the Lord would become cold, that their distance from the Lord would become greater. Deuteronomy 8, verse 13. Here's what the Lord said. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply, things are going well, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thy hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. And this is the fear. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, when things were relatively calm, did you forget the Lord? Did I forget the Lord? What was our commitment like? What was our zeal like? And this is Joshua's fear. And it seems nearly, I would have neither preached this 12 months ago. And I wonder, has God allowed this to affect you and me? Because we've let something become between us and the Lord. We're not what we used to be. We're not where God wants us to be. And has God been challenging you? I read this from a man who is an Ethiopian believer. He said this, Almighty God, from the depth of my heart, I plead with thee to send us trouble. Strange prayer. He said this, when our king was exiled, we met in secret. We worked in harmony. Now, we have peace in our land. We baptize in the daytime. We're not beaten. We meet in prayer, but we're beginning to grow careless in our zeal for thee. Jealousies have crept in and spoiled the harmony. We're selfish in our ambitions. Dear Lord, send us more trouble that we might forget about ourselves and depend on thee and have no time to become selfish and jealous of our fellow Christians. What a prayer. And perhaps that's how Joshua felt. He feared that during this time of prosperity and rest and well-being, they would forget about God. Now I wonder, do you remember 12 months ago? When it come to the Lord's table, well, you could take it or leave it. But when it come to giving thanks even, it was something you forgot about. When it come to your giving, when it come to attending the meetings, well, sure, if you don't get this Sunday, you'll go next Sunday. And surely you'll turn up often enough for it to be noticed that at least you're here. When it comes to service for the Lord, I possibly will get involved. But listen, all of these opportunities were now gone. And the doors of the church were shut. And you couldn't come to the meetings. And for periods you couldn't gather around the Lord's table. And I just wonder, and I'm speaking to myself as well as speaking to you this morning, and I hope God is speaking to you this morning. During that time when everything was open and everything seemed good, did we forget about God? Did you treat God like a pick and mix menu? Was it like a la carte? Take the bits you want, and suddenly all was gone. I wonder, is God something to say to you this morning? Now, I'm talking about Jesus never failing, and I'll get to that point. Don't you worry. I want you to stay with me here this morning. You see, Joshua wants to remind them of God's unchanging standards. God's unchanging standards. They may have been enjoying a time of peace and rest and tranquility. But this book doesn't change. And Robin was right this morning to direct our attention to the Word of God. This book doesn't change. I think there are a few things as we think of God's unchanging standards. I'm going to mention this in passing. I'm talking about the burden of leadership. But one thing that God's people need to do is to pray for those in authority. Pray for those in leadership in this assembly. Listen, pray for your pastor. I'm not ashamed to say that. You see, in Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, and were to remember them in prayer, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Why do I mention this morning? Do you remember when we considered Caleb back in chapter 14, verse 11? Caleb, at 85 years of age, says, "I'm as strong this day as I was 45 years ago." And Caleb knew good health and the blessing of God upon him. And there's no doubt that he was a man that the hand of God was upon. And of course, I'm being general here this morning. We read about Joshua in Exodus chapter 33 that he was a young man. He was younger than Caleb. And so he's not as old as Caleb. And remember what Caleb says, "I'm as fit as I was 45 years ago." Now look at verse 1 and 2. "And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age." And you see it repeated again. Joshua says, "I am old and stricken in age," at the end of verse 2. Could I suggest this morning that surely the burden of leadership could be seen in the face of Joshua? It's always difficult to lead people. Listen, it's difficult in the workplace. It's difficult if you're the boss and you're in charge of leading. It's not easy. But in the assembly, it's difficult. It's a difficult task. It's much easier to criticize. It's much easier to talk about them. But when you're in their shoes, it's difficult. You need to pray for those who are in authority. Pray for your pastor. The burden of leadership. And then he reminds them of the book of the law. Here's God's unchanging standards. Verse 6, remember, it's a time of peace and tranquility. Maybe we could say this is us 12 months ago. Things have been different in this past year, in these past 12 months. Things have certainly been difficult, but God's word hasn't changed. What was your attitude to the word of God before lockdown? Was it take it or leave it? Well, let's see what Joshua has to say. Look at verse 6. "Be you therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left hand." Now, do you remember what Joshua was told at the beginning of this book? Back in Joshua 1 verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." And you can see that things haven't changed. Moses said in Deuteronomy 5 verse 32, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left hand." Tell me, did you turn? You see, 12 months ago when the word of God was here, you could come to the meetings and I wonder, when things were quiet, was the word of God a neglected book for you? Was the standards of God neglected? Was the teaching of God, did you turn it on its head? Never mind turn to the right or turn to the left. You see what Joshua says, "Be you therefore very courageous to keep and to do all." You can't cherry pick the word of God. You're to do all what God has asked you to do. Not just that which is easy. Not just that which costs you nothing. You see, Joshua feared in the time of rest and tranquility, they would cherry pick the word of God and they would disobey the commandments of the Lord. Did we? Is this why God had to stir our nests? Not only was it to be complete, but you see, obedience needs courage. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Easy to compromise, isn't it? Easy to go with the world. Easy not to speak up for the Lord. Oh, it's so easy. But you see, when you stand up for the word of God, it takes courage. Has it taken this pandemic and this lockdown to get your nose back in the word of God? and to get your feet walking according to the Word of God. You see the God's unchanging standard. You see the burden of leadership. You see the book of the law. You see they're binding to the Lord. This is what Joshua wants them to do. Verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. The word cleave was used of a husband and wife cleaving together. It's the closest possible bond. And Joshua says, stay close to the Lord. Look at verse 12 in Joshua 23. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. That's the word used in the negative sense. And here Joshua says, you need to cleave to the Lord. It means to be glued to the Lord. Tell me you're glued to some TV program. Are you glued to the Lord? Are you as close to the Lord as you ever have been? You see, if you want to know the blessing of God, you have to cleave to the Lord. Yes, you need to keep to this book, never turn to the right or the left. You need to stick close to the Lord. And we're glued to magazines, and we're glued to TV programs, and we're glued to things that we never would want to give up. Have you been glued to the Word of God? Has God rattled your cage? Has God shaken you up as He got you by the scruff of the neck? And He says, listen, you haven't been as close to me as you used to be. You've been turning to the right and turning to the left and turning the Word of God on its head. And God has shaken you up a little bit. Look at verse number 11. We not only have the burden of leadership and the book of the law and the binding to the Lord, we've got the beauty of love. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Well, let me ask you, and the Lord asked this question of Simon Peter. Lovest thou me? Would the Lord have to ask you that question? You know, if your wife has to continually say, do you love me? Well, there must be little evidence or she wouldn't have to ask you. Would the Lord have to say to you this morning, do you love me? Have you grown cold? Have you become like the church at Ephesus? The Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. Yes, our hearts. And the love of God needs to be in our hearts. Then it needs to be on our arms. It needs to be seen. The unseen, the heart, the seen, the arm. Is the love of God evident in your life? And here's what Solomon said. For love is as strong as death. Death is unhindered. When death is looking its prey, nothing can stop death. Listen, if you love someone, if you love the Lord, nothing will hinder that love. Listen, love is unmovable. He says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The grave won't give anything up. And that's what love is to be like. Our love for the Lord should be unhindered, unmovable, and unquenchable. Many waters cannot quench true love. And of course, we've been talking about the role of the husbands on Wednesday night. Listen, men, have you listened to it yet? Have you tried to avoid listening to it? This is how you're to love your wife, unhindered, unmovable, unquenchable. Is your love for the Lord what it should be? You see the danger of complacency. When things were going good, when everything was open, when we could travel here and travel there and do this and do that. Listen, did we forget about God? Does God want to bring you back this morning? You see, Joshua recognized the danger of complacency. You see, God's unchanging standards. You see, Jesus never fails. But let me ask you, as I ask myself, have you failed Jesus? Have you failed the Lord? You see the unchanging standards. Then you see the unstoppable slide. I don't want to spend long at this, but Joshua's pointing out what it'll cost them if they don't stay close to the Lord, if they don't love the Lord, if they don't follow the Word of God. Verse 12, we read about a loss of position. Else if you do and wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. Now they're cleaving unto the world and not the Lord. Even those that remain among you shall make marriages with them and go into them, and they unto you. And here Joshua is warning them not to walk with the Canaanites. Verse number 7, come not among these nations that defile you. Don't worship with the Canaanites. Verse 7, neither make mention of the name of their gods or cause to swear by them, neither serve them nor bow down yourselves to them. Listen, have other gods come in, and you're cleaving to them?
He challenges them about their walk and their worship, and even about who they wed. Don't be marrying the Canaanites. You'll have a loss of position. You'll lose your separation. You'll lose your stand as a child of God. Listen, there's also a loss of power. Look at verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Do you find yourself a powerless believer? Do you find yourself a limp believer? You don't know the power of God. There's been a loss of position. There's been a loss of power. Listen, there's a loss of privileges. Look at verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but there shall be snares and traps. Do you feel as if you're trapped during lockdown? I wonder, have we turned away from the Lord? Have we neglected the Word of God? Have we neglected love to the Lord and staying close to the Lord? Do we find ourselves, is that what God's saying to you? Listen, God deals with us personally. And have you been snared and trapped? A loss of position, a loss of power, a loss of privileges. And here's something else. There'll be a loss of peace. Look at verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But there shall be snares and traps on you, and scourges in your side and thorns in your eyes. How painful. If you have scourges in your side and thorns in your eyes, listen, you're not going to have any peace. C.H. Spurgeon said, the Lord will not let you sin successfully. You see the loss of position, no longer known as God's people. You see the loss of power. You see the loss of privilege. You see the loss of peace. You see the loss of progress. Look at verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but there shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish of this good land which the Lord your God had given you. And God says, listen, you'll lose the land. You'll lose all the progress that you've made. You'll be right back where you started. Because there hasn't been that meditation on the Word of God, turning not to the right or the left. There hasn't been that devotion. You haven't been cleaving unto the Lord. There hasn't been that affection that you love the Lord your God. Verse number 11. You see the unchanging standards. You see the unstoppable slide. Listen, has God been speaking to you? I wonder that you used to say, I haven't time to read the Word of God. Listen, God has given you plenty of time now. I haven't time to pray. Haven't you time now? It doesn't suit me to go to church or to get involved, and you could take it or leave it 12 months ago. Oh, but listen, everything was shut. I wonder, was God speaking to you personally? You see the unchanging standards, the unstoppable slide, but praise God, we've an unfailing Savior. I said before, I may have failed, and you may have failed, but Jesus never fails. And here we see about an unfailing Savior. Joshua reminds them. Remember, they're enjoying peace and tranquility. Joshua doesn't want them to lose it. He says, look at verse 14. But behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. He's going to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass. Not one thing failed. You know, you and I can never say that. We can never say that we haven't failed in one thing. But Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan, for Jesus never fails. Joshua 1 verse 5, the Lord said to Joshua, I will not fail thee. You know, there are a number of things that fail. And maybe you've been looking to things that have failed rather than the unfailing Savior. You know, in Genesis 47 verse 15, we read that money failed. Money failed. You see, when there was a famine in the land, there was nothing. And money failed. But it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. His love for us never fails. Is money your God? Because money failed. Are you just living for riches? For time and not for eternity. Where you can put the treasure in eternity, according to Luke 12, that never fails, but money fails. Is money your God? Listen, friends can fail us. Job discovered in Job 19, verse 14, my kinsfolk have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Money fails and friends fail. Do you know what we read about Christ? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He never fails. Money fails. Friends can fail. Our own strength can fail. David discovered in Psalm 38 he had fallen into sin. He said, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden, too heavy for me. Listen, young people. Sin may appear to be attractive and the devil will paint it up to be something good. Here's what David says. It's a heavy burden. A heavy burden. My wounds stink. I'm stinking. I'm corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Here's what he said. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. Money fails. Friends fail. Our own strength fails. But God never fails. David said, make haste to help me, O Lord God of my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, Jesus never fails. Don't go in for money. It'll fail you. Don't depend on your friends. They can fail you. Don't depend on yourself. You can fail. But Jesus never fails. He gives us riches that never fail. He's a friend that'll never fail us. He gives us strength that will never fail. You know, in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 7, Solomon, who looked into the world for answers, as I said, we look a bit more at this afternoon. It says, his wisdom faileth him. Your own wisdom will fail you. There is a wisdom that's from above. James tells us, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Christ, we read, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus never fails. His wisdom never fails. He gives us riches that never fail. He is a friend that never fails us. He gives us strength that never fails. He gives us wisdom that never fails. He is a refuge that never fails. David said in Psalm 42, verse 4, I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And David could find no refuge. Every refuge he went to failed him. Do you remember when we looked at Judges 20? The cities of refuge, what a picture of Christ. My, if there's sin, we can go to Kadesh. There's righteousness there with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive us. He is like Shechem. He's a shoulder to lean upon. He's like Hebron. He gives us wonderful fellowship. He's like Bezer. He gives us strength. He's like Ramoth. He lifts us up. He exalts us. He helps us. He's like Golan. He gives us joy, real joy. He is a refuge. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He never fails. What an unfailing Savior we have. What an unfailing God we have. Look again at verse 14. Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which your Lord God spake concerning you. He never, ever fails. 12 months ago, were you close to him? Were you in his book? Did you obey his book? Did you love him? Joshua says, if you don't do these things, you'll lose all of this peace and all of this comfort and all of the blessing. And maybe God has allowed this to come into our lives because we stopped looking to Jesus who never fails. Joshua reminds them of God's unchanging standards. He reminds them of the unstoppable slide. But then he reminds them of the unfailing Savior. This is Joshua's final message. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all earth. Verse 14. And what a message it was to them. You know, Solomon said in 1 Kings 8, verse 56, according to all that he promised, There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised. Praise God, he fails not. You know, I was interested in the report that came out recently into the mother and baby homes. I know mainly in the Republic of Ireland, but not exclusively. There were some in Northern Ireland as well. If you read some of the stories, how thousands of little babies died. Parents, mums also died, neglected, abused. And these little ones, all they were only infants, if they could talk, they would look at all that was around them and they could say, "Everyone failed me! Everyone failed me!" Let me tell you, Jesus never, never fails. And you can look to him, you can have whatever inquiry you want. From Genesis to Revelation, from the moment you're saved, right up till this date in 2021, Jesus never, never, never fails. In a few moments, Jack and Ellie are going to sing Leaning on Those Everlasting Arms. One of the verses says this, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on those everlasting arms." Listen, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Come what may, if we're leaning on those everlasting arms, you know why? Jesus will never fail you. And Jesus will never let you down. Will you look to him this morning? Oh, we may have failed him. I wonder, will we make it our heart's desire to look to the one who never fails? And may we be willing to move on for Christ, even from this day forward. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we read that not one thing failed. I think it's Zephaniah tells us that he faileth not. Lord, there's not a society, there's not a person, there's not an association in the world that we can look to and say they never failed. Not even once. But Lord, as we look around us, we can look up and we can see one who never fails. And oh Heavenly Father, may we be leaning on those everlasting arms even today. May we trust the one who never fails. Lord, if there's any listening and they have failed you, Lord, we pray that they'll get back into this book. We pray, Lord, that they will cleave to you. And Lord, that they'll fall in love with you over again. Lord, be with us the remainder of this day. Bless in the drive-in church at 3. And bless the youth as they meet at 7. And Lord, we pray that this day will be owned and blessed of thee. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.